Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is Sun Belt Commissioner Keith Gill, and I listen to the Fun Belt Podcast.
This is the Fun Belt Podcast, part of the Believe Network.
Folks, to Dusty Thibodeau of Warhawk Report, Jeremy Harper of Howlraiser, and Shane Metlin of the Daily News Record.
I think it's potentially a very good week for the Sun Belt.
But I'm just kind of going off on a random rant. It's just frustrating. It's
Yeah, we're waiting on you, Shane.
All right. So we all know it's baseball season. Yeah. It's softball season.
Yeah.
Something about golf championships.
Yes. Today.
There's a lot going on in the spring.
Yeah. More than you think.
It's not just that, right? Right, Jeremy? We've got a special guest today to come talk to us a little bit about esports, bringing back our friend Fielding Belk. Sorry about that.
Oh my God.
This is why you don't have me do the intros.
And that was his last time to ever join the show, Shane.
BetOnline is not only my favorite source of online betting, it is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
You can just call him ASU Goody. I think that's
fine.
You know, here's a funny thing about ASU Goody, by the way. So I walk into the football game, the football stadium. And I'm prone to do this. This is what I like to do. I like to go in and I like to get a beer. So, you know, I like to march over to the little beer kiosk that they've got set up. I don't like to get the Ultras or the Miller Lights or the Coors or whatever. I want to get like a premium beer. So I go to the premium beer booth, and guess who is serving beer? It's Fielding Belk. Like, what the hell are you doing here? You're the manager of the esports team.
Hey, man. Look, I'm also a graduate student, so okay. I gotta pay the bills somehow. I'm blessed to have that spot, and I get to watch the football games nice up and close. So if you'll catch me in the end zone this season. So if you want a beer, come and find me over there.
Now, Fielding, I am led to believe that student athletes such as yourselves get a little piece of that NIL pie. I'm sure you don't need to be pouring beers, right?
Well, I would love to be in the NIL for A-State. I'm sure many athletes on campus would. We're not in that group, sadly. Yeah.
You know, Jeremy, what? You're head of the Red Wolf Pack or whatever y'all's NIL collective is, aren't you?
Impact Club.
Hey, oh, interesting. Interesting.
I know some guys. I'll see if I can pull some strings. I'm not going to guarantee anything. But I'll talk to some people and let people know that the esports program needs their support. Speaking of support and the esports program, can you wrap up the season for us so we can have an understanding of where Arkansas State lies in the world of esports?
Yeah. So hang with me here, because season wrapped up, and as you know, me as a director, I tell students all the time, and our players, if there's a game that has a competitive scene in collegiate, we will play. Okay. So we compete in basically everything that there is that's offered. So our main, I guess, our core five or core six games falls under the NECC, New England Collegiate College, or Collegiate Conference is that what's that's called. The highlight of that was our Valorant team, who has won three divisional championships in a row. This year was our third. They made the first iteration of the NECC Nationals, and they made it to the quarterfinal, lost to New England College of all teams. Very good school. But a very successful season as far as that standpoint goes. And the way that I like to compare the esports program is, like, consider it A-State. You know, there's football, basketball, yeah, volleyball, soccer, golf. There's, yeah, us, but we play in different games. So it's kind of similar that way to where we're playing in the same league, but against different teams in a different game, if you can follow. So yeah, Valorant did really well, 7-0, undefeated in the division, lost in the Nationals quarterfinals. But moving on, our Super Smash Brothers team had a successful season compared to their last few, 4-3. That's something y'all might be familiar with. I know y'all said that it's hard to follow sometimes what the esports realm is evolved, yeah, into, but Smash Brothers is a classic. It's still going strong in the competitive scene. So. Proud of our guys. Regular season, third place finish there. Lost in the first round of playoffs. Rainbow Six Siege, Tom Clancy game.
Yeah, we know.
I know that one. Yes. There you go. They went undefeated in the regular season, 7-0. Got upset in the quarterfinal, sadly, of our division. League of Legends went 4-1. Regular season runner up. Also lost in the first round of playoffs. Overwatch team, 5-2. Rocket League team, 4-3. And actually, our Rocket League team had a chance to play in the national second chance qualifiers, which, because they got second place in their division, lost in the second round of that one. So didn't make it to the full thing, but still a very successful season overall from us. A lot of room to grow. And like you were saying with the NIL thing, we are basically playing with just players that we have here in the state, or that even come to A-State. There's hardly any recruiting because we can't offer scholarships or anything like that. So to have the level of players that we have is very lucky, I guess.
Well, that's just credit to Arkansas and their video game community. So yeah. I know Rocket League because I got sucked into Rocket League for a while.
That's a fun one.
I don't know if you guys have ever played it. It defies laws of physics, or maybe it obeys laws of physics. You just kind of learn about the physics. I'm not I know Rainbow Six because my son plays it. That's kind of a first person shooter. There's a lot of teamwork involved. You get a little team and you go out and you go on a mission. What were the other ones? It was Overwatch, I heard that, but there's another one that you had said too.
Overwatch, League of Legends.
League of Legends. What is League of Legends?
So that one, I'm not a fan of that game. And I'll just be straight up, and I think our players know that, but I try to support them as much as I can. One, I don't understand how it works.
Oh, okay.
It's a 4v4, and it's your different heroes with different abilities, and the main objective is basically to get to the other team's base and destroy their base.
Okay.
But there's dragons that you can kill, and golems that you can kill, and you're gaining coins this whole time. It's way over my head, and these guys that play it are absolute geniuses. So shout out to our team captain, Fear Turbo or David. I've handed that to him, and like, hey, you build your team and do as best as you can, and I'll support you the best as I possibly can as well. It's a fun one that once you start understanding how it works. But
it's you tough. Sound like a very gentle and caring team leader.
I'm very upfront. I'm very transparent with all the players. You know, if a problem arises or if somebody asks a question, I want everybody to be aware of what's going on, even in, you know, in the back end of stuff. I try to keep our players up to date with what's going on with our budget and what's going on with how the league is expanding and how we run tryouts and how we're going to start recruiting and stuff like that. So I think that helps a lot of the time.
So football, basketball, mm-hmm, baseball, softball. Oh, wait, Arkansas State doesn't have softball, Jeremy. they're all on ESPN3. Mm-hmm. Obviously, eGames is not going to make it there just yet. Just yet.
Yeah.
Is there a Twitch, YouTube yes. stream, or any way to be able to check this out whenever it's in season again?
Of course. I'm glad you asked. So you can find us at twitch.tv/Arkansas State. There are some streams currently live. If you want to go back and watch our national quarterfinal against New England College or our divisional championship that we won, those VODs are still live. And what we really focus on is mimicking the professional streams. So we have our own booth in our space. We have casters. We have a stream coordinator or developer that is on the sidelines changing the scenes from player cameras to in-game cameras to our casters cam. We try to be as productive as possible and as fun to watch as possible. A lot of our viewers come from family and friends, and a lot of the families don't understand the games. So our casters are really good at describing what's happening in real time, and it's easy for them to keep up with and support their kids.
So last time we spoke, you were really jonesing to challenge Butch Jones.
Yeah.
The game, and that never really materialized, right?
That's right. Still open for Coach Butch. I learned that he doesn't run his own Twitter, so that might be a detriment. And, you know, being a bartender at all these events, I got a picture with him, and I was curious to ask him if he ever saw it, but I got a little nervous because it's Butch Jones, so I didn't ask. So maybe next time I see him, we'll get
yeah, he
him.
Can be intense. Yeah.
I know.
You did manage to crack through the basketball team.
Yes.
And get Sunbelt legend, Arkansas State legend, Caleb Fields to challenge one of your guys to a game. And this is not one of the competitive games that you guys play, but NBA 2K. How did that go?
So one of our Valorant players, our graduating Valorant player, he's been on the team for our three championships, J17. Stood up to the challenge. He told me that he was good at 2K, and I believed him. And so he comes in, and Caleb comes in, and I didn't realize how, not docile, but kind of quiet Caleb was. I don't know if it was the environment, but he was locked in. And he beat Jay. We played a best of three. He beat Jay 2-0 and beat him by 40 in each game. So it was kind of a wake-up call for us. Wow. That if we're gonna challenge these athletes, we got to back it up. We got to have... Yeah. Good talent against our guys, because esports is our thing. We're supposed to be good at that. Not supposed to be getting embarrassed like this. So, but yeah, that was basically all up to Coach Butters as well. So thank you to Coach Butters and Coach Hodgson.
I feel awesome. Like that was kind of rigged, though, where you have a basketball player playing NBA 2K. It should have been kind of a neutral. Maybe that's your guy that's playing Tiger Woods golf or PGA.
Yeah. So, I mean, Caleb, at the end of it, Caleb was trying to teach Jay how to be a little better. Caleb knew all the strategies. It's obviously something that they do a lot in their free time, whether it's in the locker room, in between games, or in the dorm. So, we need Caleb to put on an esports jersey for us before he leaves and play some tournaments for us.
Yeah, or at least maybe do some coaching.
Yeah, I'm all up for it. He seemed to enjoy the space, too. Just any collaboration that we can have with anybody on campus is awesome. The last time I was on here, I think that was something that I mentioned, was just wanting to be seen and wanting people to know that we're on campus. Uh-huh. And so stuff like that helps a lot.
Last question.
Okay.
If you could recommend a game for three old guys that don't play a lot of video games, but would love to just get immersed into a game and make it part of our lives for at least 6 months, what would that game be?
You said you've already played Rocket League, right,
Jeremy? I have played some Rocket League, yes.
So Threes Rocket League, that's what I played in undergrad. And it's the most frustrating but most fun you'll ever have. As far as something that might be easy to get into and kind of stick around for 6 months, Helldivers 2 is actually a very fun – it's not a competitive game by any means. Your soldiers on alien planets trying to liberate these planets, and the whole gaming community has to work together to liberate them. So if you've got your squad of three, y'all can work together, and it's like robots and some bugs that you have to fight against. So it's that one's pretty fun.
We could be that squad of three, guys. Me and Shane and Tibbs.
But I've seen you, Jeremy, go head to head with a bug, and the bug won.
ASU Goody, you could be found on Twitter, which is now known as X, at ASU Goody. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
All right. We'll be looking for that Twitch channel to watch you guys in action. Thanks for being on the show, man. Sorry for the technical difficulties. As far as we know, it's us.
That was probably on me. It said unstable internet, so whatever.
Jeremy's always unstable.
I'll call the NIL guys and see if you can get some more stable internet too.
Don't play with me, Jeremy. Don't, because now that I know that, I'm gonna bug you. I'm gonna bug you all the time, and I'll be like, hey, look, we could use this in our space or some scholarships or something. Like,
who's this new number?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
God, that was ASU Goody, guys. You know, just one of the young men in college sports. Yes, it's esports. It's a little bit different, but it's kind of cool. He seems like a chill guy. Seems like a good manager, leader of the team. You know, we didn't have that when we were in college.
Well, we did. It just wasn't a collegiate event. It was just sitting in the dorm room, drinking, and not going to class. Playing NCAA football 94.
Was that the game? I was going to ask you, is that the game that drew people into the dorm room? Was that?
Yeah, because NOU was on it. You could play as the school.
Nice. You know, I brought my old Atari, like the 2600 or whatever it is, and hooked it up. And man, it brought the boys to the yard, guys. I mean, the guys wanted to come and play. Yar's Revenge. Super Breakout, Atari Football, Pitfall, all those things. We had it. That was great. But I think at our time, it was still Nintendo 64. How about you, Shane?
Yeah, there was a lot of Bond 007, whatever that was called.
Oh, GoldenEye.
GoldenEye, yeah. Yeah, so
the fall of 99, that was the big one in our dorm.
And Mario Kart. Yeah. Mario Kart was the best drinking game we had in college.
Mario Kart was good. We had Tecmo Football, the one with Bo Jackson, who had like supernatural speed.
Unfair, yes.
So we played a lot of that. So yeah, just to see how that has all grown and become different, you know, it's nice, but. So there you go. He's a good guy. So what else we have on the slate, Tibbs? I mean, as Shane mentioned, there is a lot of activity. I did notice that golf, the women have wrapped up, and now the men are wrapping up tomorrow.
That is correct. Final four for the men. It is down to...
Okay, list them off.
Your Red Wolves.
Yes.
Winning the regular play.
Yeah.
ULM coming in second, and then there was a tie for third of Marshall, Texas State. Not sure how they do the tiebreakers. Tomorrow morning, it will be Arkansas State, I believe, against Texas State. ULM and Marshall, winners of that low score, then face off for the conference tournament title that gives them the NCAA automatic bid.
Wouldn't that be fun if it was A-State versus the Warhawks? To go for the title, Tibbs? Oh, man.
Red Wolves were impressive.
Yeah.
But they were what, like 5 under? They were nobody else was even that close to par. Under for the Red Wolves. I will give you something to brag about, Jeremy, that they went through the regular play looking good.
I think they had 5 players play, right? And 3 of them were under par. So that was pretty nice. I believe a kid from South Alabama won the individual, right? Tibbs, he's won it like twice in a row now.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but he's congratulations to that guy. But yeah, I didn't see JM. Hey, Tibbs, did you see JMU anywhere on that leaderboard?
On your AOL sponsored connection, James Madison, 6th place, 17 over.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess you can't be good at everything, Shane.
I'm not good at anything.
Tibbs, what else we got?
So there's been a lot of talk about college football. And finally, the infamous Derek Drilly. Yes, I know that's not his real name. Former Tennessee, former Louisiana Tech head coach and athletic director, has finally come out on the record and said it. There needs to be a P4 national title playoff and a G5 playoff.
Yeah.
I like this because we already know there's separation. It's already there. We just need to bite the bullet, fall off the NCAA teat, and have the G5 national title playoff. What say you, Jeremy and Shane?
Well, you know, all right, first of all, to me, this is just a way to remove the group of five from ever having a chance to elevate themselves in any way.
But it's not going to happen anyway, Jeremy.
It did. It worked for a moment when Cincinnati cracked the top four. Now, I would argue, and I'd like to hear what you guys think about this, that the worst thing that ever happened to the group of five was Cincinnati cracking that playoffs. Because ever since then, it's been, let's destroy the group of five. Because we can't have those guys getting even a sliver of our pie. But I don't know, Shane, I'd like to hear what you would say about that.
I'm a little bit mixed. I don't want to see it go that way. I do kind of understand that it looks like maybe some of the group of five presidents, ADs, are saying, let's do it on our own terms rather than like all of a sudden be shut out. So I kind of get that mentality, but I'm with you. I don't like it. I mean, I'm not even like, I'm fine with a Sun Belt school not really having a realistic shot of winning the national championship. They don't in basketball either, but we love to see them maybe get a first round win. And I just, you know, as much as we love that in basketball and other sports, can you imagine the buzz if you're going to the fourth quarter and it's, you know, whether it's Tulane or Coastal Carolina or whoever it happens to be, and they're pushing that Big 12 or ACC champion in the fourth quarter, everybody's turning over to that game.
Yes.
Like, why do we want to take that away? It doesn't matter. They're not going to win a national championship. Why do we want to take that away when that's what everybody loves about college sports?
Yeah. You know what, Tibbs? I do, like, there is part of me that would be like, yes, let's break away. Let's do our own thing and maybe even come up with a better product in the bargain. I don't know how that would be, but maybe we can go all XFL, make our own rules, and make it far better viewing opportunity. And maybe I have to accept that you're right. I mean, there's already two conferences out there that have pretty much ruined it for everybody and go make it their own system. So maybe the only choice that we have is to break away and try to somehow salvage something from this.
I just like the idea. We all know the storied history of App State, Georgia Southern, even ULM and their FCS heyday, right? James Madison and their FCS heyday.
Yeah.
But that's because it was kind of the level playing field. You were playing a lot of the teams on your level that allowed you to have that miraculous season to be able to lift the big trophy at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You're just jealous because the A-State can't even win one in bowling.
You know, here's the thing. I get what you're saying. Let me tell you something. A-State, nobody even knew A-State, even when they were winning FCS championships or Division II or whatever you call it. To me, that's like kind of the old-timers way. Oh, back in the day when we were in, you know, FCS, we had these great battles. So they were inconsequential. I mean, at least if you have a battle between, I don't know, Arkansas State and Oklahoma, you can at least have this idea that there is a level playing field amongst them. But if it's just relegated to just an FCS status, then it's just, I don't know. There's nothing special about it anymore. It's like, going to the minor leagues. And like, have you ever gone to the minor league game and wondered if the team you're watching was number one in the league or not? No, you don't care. That's how I feel like that's where we're putting Group of Five right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this is realistic, but there's a part of me that wants to just say, if the Big Ten and the SEC want to be NFL light with 30 or 40 teams, and they want to be a pro league that only plays each other, let them do it. But I don't think that's realistically ever going to happen because, you know, North Carolina is not going to let those teams get away from them. Clemson's not going to let that go away from them. Even though, like, you know, I think if you had college football that was really college football and it was the ACC and the Big 12 and the Sun Belt and the Mountain West and all of that, like, I think that'd still be very, very entertaining, even if the Big 10 and SEC want to go do their own thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's ever going to happen, unfortunately. I think when it splits, it's going to be a big split that nobody really likes.
Yes. I think we're all sort of at the mercy of like just a handful of very rich people. And in the end, we're going to come up with something no one really likes, but we just have to take it. And, you know, maybe Tibbs has a point. Maybe if we got to take it, maybe we have to take it on our own terms.
And to circle back to your mythical national champion there of Cincinnati in 2021, yes, they were 13-0. Fantastic. Yeah. Most notable win on the season at number 9, Notre Dame, 24-13. Everything else, did you really care that Cincinnati beat South Florida, that they beat East Carolina or Murray State?
Well, I didn't care that they beat Murray State. I did care about those others, yeah. I'm not sure what your argument is. Is it that you're saying they didn't play a schedule that's as good as the other contenders?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
And instead of getting their ass handed to them in the Sugar Bowl,
Are they the only team that's ever had their ass handed to them in the playoffs? I forget. Wasn't there a TCU? Didn't they get their ass handed to them?
That was for the title, though. That was not necessarily in the playoffs.
Well, they both played Alabama, though, right?
That is correct.
I mean, come on. That's not fair. I mean,
it wasn't the Sugar Bowl. It was the Cotton Bowl, by the way, that Cincinnati got absolutely drubbed in. So
I never remember how that works. But I guess one of the things I'm saying, too, here's what happened. You know, as soon as Cincinnati won, what happened? Or Cincinnati got in there, what happened? They quickly got assimilated by the power programs. They didn't want them to be a Group of Five program. Oh, well, they got to be part of it now. They brought UCF in there too. They bring in all the guys that they think is going to be a threat, make them bosom buddies. And the rest of us have to sit here and go, okay, well, I guess we'll wait for our turn. And now our turn is not going to happen.
So do we take the Liberty approach and play literally absolutely nobody so that we're 13-0?
Well, Liberty, okay, to be fair, though, not fair. I mean, nothing was fair about Liberty. You're right about that. But they were playing their conference. You know, it's like, what else could they do? They had to play their conference. That would have been nice if they had picked a couple out-of-conference programs that were good. But I think we all raised the alarm and said, hey, you're doing the Group of Five a disservice by automatically checking off Liberty as the number one Group of Five team. Because you're just looking at wins and losses. You're not doing your job. You're being as lazy as hell. What you need to do is look at the league as a whole and say, oh, well, this team is clearly much better, which they said they were going to do, guys. Remember, they're all about the eye test. Oh, we're going to do our homework. We're going to watch the games. It's not just about the metrics. But for the Group of Five, the only metric that counted was wins and losses.
Well, Jeremy, you hit on something there that I think – people forget is winning conference championships used to be a big deal in college football. And it used to be the goal for the vast majority of teams. And like, that was when bowls were the thing and it was the bowl system and everybody loved college football back then, but we all said, yeah, but why is there not a playoff? Everybody else has a playoff. But we don't do a real playoff. We do a, like, okay, now we're going to pick a handful of teams that we think are the best. Why aren't we doing it like every other sport where if you win your conference championship, you're in? A 16-team playoff with 10 conference or 9 now conference champions, and then at-larges for everybody else that's deserving. Like, it's just the greed of, like, bigger conferences not wanting to share that money. But that's what people would love, and that would keep everybody interested because your team is always playing for something. Then.
Yeah, and I thought we're on our way to college. Weren't we on our way to do that before the Big Ten and the SEC decided to fuck it up for everybody and just start grabbing programs from other conferences?
But not even really. Like, they were just gonna, like, let one or two group of five teams in. Like, what is it really hurting anybody? What's it costing them money wise if you put all conference champions in? Like, other, I just don't get it. I don't think they're still gonna have way more money and outspend everybody if you're in the Big Ten. And you're going to have a product that people are going to watch for decades. I don't know if there's going to be a product that people want to watch in college football 20 years from now. I mean,
I don't think there's a product in 8 years that they want to watch.
Yeah, it's not going to be what people like. And people aren't going to have any association with their school. Why are you going to want to watch a lesser NFL?
Because
If Ohio State and Michigan and Alabama are just pro teams, but they're not as good as the NFL, why do you want to watch that?
Yeah, they've almost made themselves the G5 to the NFL, which is kind of funny. But all right, so here's an anecdote that may give you some insight as to where college football is today. So I went to the spring game at Arkansas State, and I sat down in the stands around the second half just to kind of, you know, feel how the game was going. And there's some old guys behind me, just, you know, like in their 60s. And, you know, you could tell they're old pals, had been doing this forever. And so one of them says, "What do you think about this thing where boys are going to be allowed to play girls' sports?" And they went on to, like, for about 2 seconds, they were talking about it. But then one of the guys said, "You know what makes me angrier? It's this NIL thing. We got a bunch of kids that are entitled, getting millions of dollars playing." And they talked about that for a long time. And I don't know if they had a full grasp of it, but there is this idea amongst fans that the game has changed so much that the values that used to hold the game together, the glue, is no longer there. And that's not the same thing as it used to be. I mean, when Arkansas State loses a starting linebacker and a starting defensive end, people that we've put money and time into, and they just leave before a slightly higher amount of money. I mean, it really does jade the fan base. So whether it's conference realignment, whether it's NIL, whether it's any of these things, college football is really finding a way to kill the golden goose.
And the conferences and the NCAA are doing it to themselves by,
yes,
hey, we signed a $900 billion TV deal. Look at us. Look at how great this is.
Yeah.
Of course, the players are going to be like, hey, like, you're making all this money off of us. And, you know, if they didn't, like, get so greedy, they wouldn't have gotten to this point where, like, it became no choice but to say, hey, where is all this money going and why isn't it going to us?
And then you have multi-million dollar coaches with the nerve to talk about, oh, all these kids care about is money. But they'll leap to another program at a drop of a hat if they offer $2 million more than what they're making. These coaches have a lot to do with why we're in where we are today. When we first started to pay $1 million for a coach, that's when things started going downhill. When we realized that the money was unlimited, except for the student athletes who had to continue to play for free. Yes, you're right. That is when things started going downhill.
But all is right in the world because Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy back.
Yes.
And SMU is beginning to explore the possibility of suing the NCAA for 30 years of past and lost revenue from their death penalty.
Why? Why dredge that up? It's old. It's ancient history.
It's legal now.
I guess. But listen, if I murder a guy now and 10 years from now, it's legal to commit murder. I guess I get out of prison. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, all right. I talked myself into that.
On that note.
Yeah.
The biggest fear that the P5 has is that the G5 will sneak up on them and make them look bad. Because they have the resources, they have the facilities. And we see that time and time again with the kind of smaller sports, right? Well, sure. This past week, we got to see Louisiana Lafayette host LSU in a top 25 battle. Raging Cajuns win the game. But more importantly than that, and looking at it from a conference standpoint, Sam Landry, probably the best pitcher in the league overall.
Okay.
Only made it through six batters, throwing 21 pitches before she was yanked. To me, that's huge, though, because that shows how deep and how many other arms that softball program has, that it's not just Sam Landry that you have to worry about in that program. So, applause to them for downing the P5 once again, especially the in-state school of LSU, but then being able to showcase that we're more than one particular player.
Yeah, we didn't have to use our very best player to shut you down. We've got plenty of others to do it. Yes, that is very cool.
Looking around at the softball standings, though, it's still Cajuns. I don't know what their magic number is to go ahead and clinch.
Let's give it to them.
But the sneaky good team that's creeping up the standings, James Madison team on an 8-game winning streak right now, currently sitting in fifth place, just outside any of the byes that would be awarded in the conference tournament in San Marcos.
Very nice.
Well, I told you guys a few weeks ago, half of the games they played early on were against Louisiana and Texas State, both nationally ranked teams right now.
Yeah.
And the East is not as good as the West. And the schedule has gotten much easier for JMU down the stretch. And it doesn't look too hard to close it out either. I think they're going to make a run. They're not catching Louisiana, of course, and they're probably not catching Texas State. And even if they do, they're not going to have the tiebreaker. But I wouldn't be shocked if they end up with the number 3 seed in the tournament.
On the other diamond in baseball, it's still the Raging Cajuns, but it definitely made it a lot more interesting after this past weekend. They lost the series to Coastal Carolina, 2-1. They got a couple game lead, about a 3-4 game lead over second place tie there of Coastal Carolina, Troy, and Southern Miss. And then it's really a log jam until you get towards the bottom of the sub 500 teams of App State, South Alabama, Texas State, ULM, Marshall, Arkansas State. For the first time in 2 years, we had a tie. I didn't know there was a tie in baseball, but there's a tie in baseball.
Indeed, yes.
Arkansas State, App State tied at 12 when it was called due to curfew. Yeah, Mama said you had to come home, Jeremy.
Yeah, apparently if you're playing on Sunday and it goes a certain limit, kids got to get back on the bus, get the airplane, whatever. They had to call it. But yeah, that was the first tie, I believe, since like 2017 for Arkansas State. It was a mercy tie. It was one of those usual games for Arkansas State where Arkansas State's winning late by 12-9 or something. And then the ninth inning, they just tie it up. But yeah, I tell you what, man. I was watching Arkansas State yesterday. They're playing in-state rival UCA Central Arkansas. And at the fifth inning, Arkansas State's winning 2-1. I get up to make some popcorn or something. I forget what I was doing. I come back and we're losing 6-2. It's just incredibly frustrating. I'm so happy for you two that you guys can watch some I don't know, some decent baseball when you sit and watch your teams. I can't.
You should check out softball, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Wish I had a team to root for. Yeah.
You should adopt a softball team.
Maybe we'll adopt those Warhawks.
The games can be less than 2 hours.
And I like that. Runs.
It's fun.
I like the camaraderie in the dugout.
Adopt a softball team, Jeremy.
All right. I might do that. I'll do some research.
Just not the Cajuns. That's too easy.
No, I never do that.
He already said he's the one that'll pick that team. I mean, he talked about, oh, yeah, I was always the Raiders because I've been a lifelong Raiders fan. Not that I have Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen in the backfield.
Yeah, let's give him a choice between Old Dominion and Georgia Southern, two 500 teams right now, right in the middle of the standings.
I guess I would go with the weirdest program
the rest of the way.
I would go with the weirdest school, and that would be ODU. I would embrace their weird. So the Monarchs are my softball team. That's it. I'm putting all my energy into the Monarchs.
Let's relay the message to our Monarchist friends.
Yes, yes, they will be so thrilled.
Just another victim. That's all I really have. Short and sweet. Not a whole lot going on around. I mean, it's a busy time, but just not a whole lot of news for our show right now.
So is it time for plugs, picks, pranks?
And possibly plugs, other stuff, sure.
Plugs, parting shots, and promos. Promos, plugs, and parting shots. That's what
sure.
All right, I just wanted to get you guys to let you know that the NFL draft is tomorrow, the first round, and then they do two and three rounds, I guess, the next day, and then the next day, a few more rounds, so they really stretch it out, which is nice. You know, last year the Sun Belt, I think, put in 9, which was a good number for the Sun Belt, but the group of five itself did not do a really good job. I like to see if the group of five rebounds this year. I like to see who goes in. I think everybody has an idea of, you know, some of the guys that might get in. I know this year was a banner year for running backs. I can think of at least 4 running backs that could hear their name called, but I will be watching. I put down a list of people on howraiser.com that might hear their names called out. You can see whether or not I do a good job making those picks. And that is my promo and parting shot.
For my parting shot, what would you say is a really bad, like, just straight up whooping football score?
Ugh,
like 73-0, maybe?
That would be a straight out whooping.
Shane, what would you say is a whooping?
I don't know. Was that what the score of the Oklahoma Arkansas State game?
I was just throwing out random numbers.
Oh, that was just a random pick. That's a whooping. You know, when you get into the 70s, it's usually not pretty.
Yeah.
For a kind of indoor sport like basketball, a margin of victory maybe by 20 is kind of a whooping, would you say?
Yeah, 20. Oh, got beat by 20. Oh, yeah.
It doesn't compare at all to a game in the World Hockey Tournament where Thailand was squaring off against Kuwait.
Gosh, 2 powerhouses.
Thailand had a shot on goal differential of 122-1, beating Kuwait 57-0.
Oh, brutal.
That's an ass whooping.
Yeah. That's the can of whoop ass has been opened and sprayed. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was great seeing the highlights where the Kuwaiti goalie was just kind of standing there as if I said, hey, Jeremy, go get in goal. What? Okay.
That's surprising to me on multiple levels like Thailand is that much better than anybody in hockey. If you said like Norway or something, like I'd have been like, okay, yeah. And also that, if Kuwait is going to have a hockey team, you would think they'd be using that oil money to like go get them some hockey players.
They're going to get some ringers.
If they're going to go to the trouble of fielding a team and go into the World Hockey Tournament.
Yeah. 57-0, Jeremy.
I thought when you even said that, I thought, oh, he must be talking about field hockey, but you're talking about ice hockey.
Ice hockey.
Wow. That's crazy.
122-1 for shots on goal. I just want to know what that one shot was that Kuwait had.
Oh,
was it like a flick down that just happened to go in or go to the goalie?
I would love to have seen that. Might have been the best shot attempt ever attempted.
It might have been like at the buzzer when everybody was like walking off or skating off the ice.
Oh, that would be too bad.
And he posted it. He didn't even get the net.
No.
Shane, what do you have for us?
Parting shot. I'm going to do a little bit of like Jeremy's style TV reviews.
Oh, okay.
Says I'm into history. I'm into it a lot. Apple TV has launched a couple shows that are kind of right in my wheelhouse here recently. Manhunt was about the Lincoln assassination, and this Franklin show about Ben Franklin. So disappointed. I didn't even make it past the first episode of Franklin. I watched all of Manhunt because that's kind of like half the books that are behind me right now are about the Lincoln assassination, and I made it through, but it was not good. Half the time they're talking like it's the 1860s. The other time they're talking like it's 2024. It's so disappointing. I know Jeremy likes to give the TV recommendations. So do I. But I'm going to recommend skipping those two on Apple TV Plus. Find something on Netflix to watch. It's not worth the time.
I got through about three or four episodes of Manhunt. And the choice of taking the Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, and turning him into like a Hardy Boy and having him like solve the mystery.
Well, that was pretty true. Like, he did lead the investigation and everything, but
he wasn't getting
right. He also like wasn't like riding out on your horse to go like try to find these guys, you know.
Yeah, it was just kind of funny to me that's how they chose to do it. And if I recall the book too, Shane, it felt like just kind of a dragnet story, you know, just sort of methodically finding some clues, chasing him down. And they really made it sound like there was this big conspiracy behind everything. I was like, God, I don't recall this book being like that. But
no, I didn't.
Yeah, and I haven't seen Franklin. I was going to, but you said after one episode, you were like,
"I didn't make it through the first episode." It was sort of boring, but then also like Michael Douglas as Ben Franklin just does not make any sense to me.
It's a curious choice. I mean, you don't think Ben Franklin when you look at Michael Douglas. Although I did see him like doing one of those interviews, I thought, okay, he's got kind of that wrinkly, pouchy looking face. I don't know if the voice fits, but yeah.
Frank did like the ladies, I guess. And, you know, Michael Douglas has played a few of those characters, but I don't know. It just doesn't fit to me.
Yeah. You know, he wore that sweater in Basic Instinct, and maybe he needs to wear that sweater again in Franklin. I don't know.
A mess as always, but we'll do it again next week, guys.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.